Book of Haggai chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, we'll have that up on the screen for you. We're going to read just a few verses there, beginning at verse 15. Amen. And if everyone is able to stand, praise God. Haggai 2, verse 15. Everybody have it. Say amen.
Amen.
And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were, when one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to press fat for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in the labors and all the labors of your hands, yet you turn not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth, from this day will I bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. They're going to bless the shofar. We want you to give the Lord some praise for his word today. Come on. Let's release, amen. Hallelujah. A lot of the praise in this house today. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Old song says, if you're happy on the Lord, clap your hands. Amen. If you love Jesus and you know it, give him praise today. Come on. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Amen. He's worthy. God, we release the glory of the atmosphere. God, we praise the name, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. You may be seated. And if the Lord will allow me, I want to minister on the thought from this day on. From this day on. Look at your neighbor and say, from this day on. Hallelujah. From this day on. And when you really look at the book of Haggai and understand in context the things that Haggai, amen, prophesied and the things that he brought forth, it really is just a small book of 2 chapters, amen, and or 3 chapters. And Haggai, amen, considered one of the minor prophets, if you will, meaning that there's just not a lot in recorded. What he said wasn't that what he said was not important. It's just there wasn't as much said or recorded of what he said as maybe some of the other prophets. When you look at the context and what is taking place, you got to kind of go back and understand where things started and where things come from. And so we go back and we look at Jerusalem. Amen. And they began to have a downward spiral when King Solomon began to bring in false gods. We know that Solomon was the son of David, and Solomon was a man that was full of wisdom. He asked God for, God told him to ask for one thing, and he asked for wisdom, but we know that Solomon's wisdom got him in trouble. Amen. So, these false gods bring in false worship, and it eventually split man Jerusalem into 2 kingdoms, which we had Israel to the north and Judah to the south. Amen. And so, the idols that were brought in, the pagan worship, and all of the chaos, the fornication, the sin, and everything that came in as a result of Solomon allowing these false gods and this worship brought in to Jerusalem caused, amen, the consequences would be an exile in Babylon. God's people were exiled into Babylon, and this was the result of that, amen? And we see, amen, in the other books of the prophets, the prophet Jeremiah, when we look at the weeping prophet, Jeremiah began to prophesy, amen, of this exile. He began to tell them, amen, that there was going to be captivity. They were going to be taken captive, and there was going to be a period of 70 years that they would be in exile. But we see, amen, that Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. He was called that because he wept over and lamented over the sin and over the disobedience and the rebellion of God's people. We also know that no one listened to Jeremiah. Amen. And Jeremiah got to the place, amen, that he became discouraged. And And you know what? I'm just not going to say anything else. I'm not going to prophesy the word of the Lord anymore. Amen. And it didn't last very long because Jeremiah said that the word of the Lord is like fire shut up in my bones. He said it's in me and I cannot hold it back. Hallelujah. But we see in the book of the Lamentations, one of my favorite passages and one that is quoted so often by so many people, we see in the book of Lamentations as Jeremiah lamented and he wrote, amen, of the sorrow and the grief. Hallelujah. He said in one place, amen, that despite all that he saw and despite all that he felt, he said it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. He said his compassions fail not. His mercies are new every morning. Great is the faithfulness of our God. I'm just looking for about two or three that understands in the midst of chaos, in the wilderness, in the desert, and the times that we don't understand, and the times that we are broken, and the times where chaos seems to ensue more than peace. That it is by the mercies of God that we are not consumed, but the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. His compassions fail not. I will tell you, the compassion of our God, of our Heavenly Father, is deeper and greater than I think any human can comprehend. I'm so glad for me that he did not give up on me when I gave up on myself. When I felt like, amen, that it was hopeless, his compassion and his mercy, hallelujah, kept me. It is only by his mercy that I stand before you this morning. Can we just give him praise right now for the faithfulness of his mercy? Come on and bless him in this place. Then here comes Ezekiel prophesies now while they are in exile. Now they have been taken in captivity by Babylon and they have been exiled and now they are in a place that they are not familiar with and they are surrounded now, amen, by so many distractions and they are being asked, amen, to bow and to worship. Hallelujah. And here comes Ezekiel, amen, that is now prophesying while they are scattered out in exile. And he says, he was asked the question, can these bones live? And he said, his response to God was, Lord, you know. And God said, I'm about to give you an example of his compassion and his mercy. Because as God looked out on those scattered bones, as he looked out on Israel as they were in exile and they were scattered all over the place, and he asked the prophet, can they live? And the prophet said in hillbilly terms, if you say they can live. And God said to Ezekiel, stand up and begin to prophesy. Somebody help me in this place. God said, begin to prophesy to the wind from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west. Let the breath begin to blow upon those bones. And you know the rest of the story, but just in case you don't, the bones begin to come back together. Ezekiel began to see in the vision. Hallelujah. The sinews begin to come upon them. Amen. They begin to be covered with skin. And they were dead. But God said, prophesy. Hallelujah. To the wind and breath came back. There began to be a rattle, and those bones raised up an exceeding great army. This is why Ezekiel, Jeremiah said his compassions fail not, that it is only by the mercies of the Lord that we are not consumed. God could have threw Jerusalem and Israel away. He could have thrown his people out, but instead, hallelujah, his mercy
and his compassion upon them. Hallelujah. Can these dry bones live? Can I tell somebody today that no matter how far you are from your purpose or your destiny, when God speaks and breathes life into, amen, your circumstances, hallelujah, the enemy cannot stop it. Hallelujah. I said when you are as far away from your purpose, they were about as far away from their purpose and the destiny that God set over them as they could be. But yet, God breathed life upon them. I'm going somewhere today because he had a plan. Hallelujah. And so when God speaks and when God breathes, hallelujah, on your life, the enemy cannot take it. Touch your neighbor, amen, and says when God says it, the enemy can't stop it. When God says it, I feel that for somebody today. When God says it, the enemy can't stop it. But we need to take a look, amen, at another prophet, hallelujah, who prophesied about 150 years before they were taken into exile. Before Jeremiah and before Ezekiel, there was a prophet, amen, who prophesied the restoration of their exile. Now, I want you to get that in your mind. 150 years before they were taken into exile, there was a prophet that came and prophesied about their restoration. That prophet's name was Isaiah. And as of this morning, I thought I was going to preach to you out of the book of Isaiah. And I thought the Lord had a different direction from that book. But as I got into what the Lord was dealing with me, it's taken me to where I am and where we're going this morning. Amen. Here's what I need you to understand. That Isaiah prophesied of their past before it was even their present. He prophesied of what was going to be their past before it was even their present. But even better, he prophesied of their future before their now was even affected by their past. Somebody better help me. Let me tell you that again. I said he prophesied of their past before it was even their present. But even more so, he prophesied of their future before their now was even affected by their past. I come today to tell somebody, God has written glory. Hallelujah. And there's a word over your life. And you don't even know, amen, what's about to come. But God has done, got it all, amen, figured out. See, Isaiah speaks of a coming Messiah who's going to bring redemption and who's going, amen, to bring, amen, eternal redemption. Amen, going to bring redemption from sin. But he's also going to bring, amen, eternal redemption. Isaiah is the one that said, can I forget? He posed the question, can I forget? He said, there will be a time when you pray. Amen. And I'll answer while you're still praying. God said, can I forget? I come to tell somebody today, God has not forgotten about you. Furthermore, there's some prayers that you prayed that I believe that you feel like the answer is not coming. For some of you, you prayed them for years. But I've come to tell somebody, God has heard your prayer. And he said, while you were still praying, I heard you pray. And I sent the answer. While you were praying, I answered. I need somebody to understand. Hallelujah. That you may not see it now. Some of you have been praying for your family. You've been praying for some people in your family, some prodigals. Some of you for years. And it looks like that they're never going to come or return back to God. But I come Why? Because my compassions fail not. And it's only by his mercies that they are not consumed. I need somebody. But there's a prayer that's already in their future. I said there's a prayer that's already in their future. They don't know that their past has been affected by the prayer. They don't realize that their present is because of a prayer. But that's a prayer that's already in their future.
Yes, God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Come on.
Thank you, God.
He said, here's the thing, you see. Babylon is permitted to take them, but Babylon can't keep them. We'll get that next Sunday. I said, God will let Babylon take them, but he will not let Babylon keep them. They were taken by Babylon, but he set a time limit on it. He said, after 70 years. See, there was already a prophecy that had been spoken 150 years prior to the exile. They had no idea, but the prophetic word of God was already in their future. Yeah. I need somebody to help me today. God will allow situations and circumstances to be of our lives. Come on. I'm preaching to me as well as you. Are you hearing me? He will allow things to come upon us. He will allow us to encounter circumstances and situations. He will allow us to walk desert places. He will allow us to encounter wilderness experiences. But they'll not be able to keep us.
Right. Right.
Babylon would take them. They had permission to take them, but they did not have permission to keep them. And you need to tell the enemy that's got a hold of some of your family, that's got a hold of your prodigal children, that's got a hold of that person that you're praying for. Hallelujah. That you might have hold of them, but you can't keep them.
Come on.
Well, come on, somebody. Because there's a prayer that's been prayed that's in their future. And I prophesy. Oh, somebody help me. Can those dry bones live? The Lord says they can. Now you need to prophesy to those dry bones. Live, live. Can you hear the rattle? Can you hear the shaking? Can you hear the sound of dry bones?
Yes, God. Hallelujah.
I'll keep you along today. See, we might be cast down, but we won't be destroyed.
Yes.
Amen.
We might feel rejected, but we won't be forsaken. Oh, we might go through the fire, but the fire won't burn us. We might experience the flood, but the flood will not overtake us. I need somebody to help me in this place. I'm still preaching from this day on. Hallelujah. Because see, prayers are already in the future where you're going.
Yes.
So why are we going to worry about tomorrow? Come on, are you with me? Prayers are already in the future where you're going. Because you see, their return was prophesied before they were even exiled. Hold on to that for a minute.
Yes.
I said 150 years before they were even exiled, their return was prophesied. God's got this.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. He's already got a way of escape made. He's already got a route out of that. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Amen. You may be standing before, amen, a broken life. The life before you, the marriage before you, your health before you may look like it's broken. May look like, amen, that it is too far disjointed. But I'm here to tell you, just as Ezekiel saw that from way over here, the hip bone that belonged, let's just call him John. John's a good Hebrew name. Amen. The hip bone that belonged to, amen, Brother John, that was way over here. Amen. And John's femur bone was way over here. All of a sudden, when the breath of God breathed on it, John's femur bone, amen, kind of found. So I got to find that hip bone. I got to find, amen, that ankle bone. I got to find that knee. No. That's Isaiah's. I need John's. Do you hear me? I don't need somebody else's word over my life. When I was knitted in my mother's womb, he put an assignment and a purpose over my life, and the enemy has set out to stop it from the beginning. But I'm here to tell somebody, from this day on, from this day upward, hallelujah, no more down, but it's going to go up. Come on, somebody. May look like there's no need to talk about it, but God has the restoration already there in the future. The prayers are already in. Come on.
Thank you, Pastor.
Because you see, when Isaiah spoke and prophesied in chapter 65, and God said there'll come a time that when you pray, that while you're still praying, I will answer. That doesn't,
yes.
That doesn't mean that right there, that very instant, we're going to see the answer.
Right, right.
That means that right there, that very instant, the prayer has been answered and has been put into the future. And that restoration, deliverance, victory is all. Oh, somebody that are here today, this is what the Lord gave me this morning. Hallelujah. Has already been established.
Yes.
That's why you can't turn around and go back.
Now you're talking right.
And you can't let your past have such a devastating effect on your now.
Come on.
Because how you handle the now determines when and how you'll go into the future. Because everyone, right? Sam, please. Here's me, here's you, here's us. Here's the past, there's the future. Every one of us is right here in the same place. Somewhere in the middle. Between our past and our future. And it's very easy to feel stuck. It's real easy to feel stuck. We can preach for a while about what makes us feel stuck. But we don't have permission to do that today. But my point is that this is over. You're here. How you see your future determines the now. And some of you are stuck in the middle. You're stuck in between the past and the future.
Come on.
You're halted and you're stuck. You can be seated. See, mercy, think of this. I thought about this morning. I never thought about this before. But 150 years, God prophesied of their return. Now, if there's a return, there's got to be an exile.
Right.
So if a return is prophesied, you don't question the exile. It's when the exile is prophesied, you begin to question the return.
Come on.
Oh, come on, somebody. But God gave the return before they even knew the exile was going to happen.
That's good.
You need to hold on to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, mercy, I thought this today, mercy was already prepared before the truth was ever revealed.
Yes.
I
His mercies are new every morning. Despite the sin and the chaos and the debauchery and the, amen, the pagan worship and the adultery, the spiritual adultery, all that Jeremiah saw, he said, it's by, amen, the compassions of God that fail not, that we are not consumed. Are you with me? Hallelujah. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Hallelujah. So mercy was already prepared 150 years prior to the truth of their exile being revealed. Don't you dare tell me God don't love you.
Yes.
Don't you dare let the enemy convince you that God don't have your best interest in mind. Don't you dare let the enemy convince you that what you're going through right now in the now is insurmountable, because mercy is already in the future. Come on, somebody, do you hear that? The prayer is already in the future. So you may have prayed it 25 years ago, but the answer is already somewhere in your future. So you know what I say to that? No wonder Paul said, I run this race not as one with skill, but I run with a prize in mind that my God is faithful. My God will supply my needs. See, darkness will come, but it will not prevail. Send us up today. Weeping will come, but it won't last.
Yes.
It may seem like the enemy is gaining ground, but I had a thought today. We talk about that verse in the morning. We talk about weeping indoors for the night, but what? Joy comes in the morning. And I thought, there's one thing the enemy can't do. When we open our eyes in the morning and we get up out of bed and we put our feet to the ground, there's one thing the enemy cannot do, and that's stop the sun from coming up. And if joy comes in the morning, and weeping has a termination period. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? It has a cutoff date. Are you hearing me? And joy comes in the morning. How do we know when it's morning? When the sun comes up, right? Amen. I get up before the sun comes up. Amen. It don't always feel like morning, but as soon as the sun starts rising up over the horizon, amen, that's when we get the sense at daybreak, it's morning. We begin to see, amen, the enemy cannot stop, and that is the sun from coming up. And if he can't stop the sun from coming up, then he can't prevent the mercies of God being new and fresh every morning. And if he, come on, somebody, and if he can't stop the sun from coming up, then the weeping that comes with the darkness that he is so often a part of does not have to have the devastating effect on our lives. Life does, because joy will come, because the answer is already in the daybreak. Come on, somebody. Amen. Mercy has already been prepared before the truth was ever revealed. When they were taken into Babylon. See, when you understand how Israel was set up in the tribes, and every tribe had their own land. And it belonged to everyone from that tribe. So it was passed down. But when they were taken into Babylon, ownership of the land didn't transfer. It lay dormant for for 70 years. But ownership didn't change. We might preach about that another time. You get me? Captive by Babylon, and God allowed it to happen, doesn't mean that the blessing that came with their covenant promise was removed.
Yeah. Come on, Tom.
Come on. It lay desolate. Somebody help me in this place. Amen. But the ownership did not transfer. And despite what anyone says, God still owns Israel. It's his. And how he goes about getting it all done and taken care of and said at the end is up to him. But when they were, each tribe had that portion. It was desolate, but the seed was still there. So I've come this morning to tell somebody that Babylon may be permitted to take you, but they can't keep you.
Right.
Yes.
And that does not mean that every blessing that is connected to the covenant of God through the blood of Jesus Christ still does not belong to you.
Come on.
It may look desolate right now, but the seed is still there. Because the seed is this Messiah that Isaiah prophesied. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. That God told, amen, the serpent in the garden about that seed. Are you hearing me? So, that's why the blessings, the potential for harvest had died. The harvest in the moment was gone. But the potential for the harvest never died. The whole 70 years they were in Babylon. So it doesn't matter today what it looks like and what maybe we allow as we become stuck in the middle between the past and the future. And we look and the harvest is dried up. But understand, the enemy may steal the harvest. He may go in and ravage the harvest, but he cannot take ownership of the ground. Puts a whole new meaning on going to the enemy's camp.
Come on.
Take back what the devil sold from me. Come on. The harvest, he may have ravaged the harvest and it may look desolate now. And Babylon may seem to have the upper hand. I don't know who God is talking to today. But the ownership of the ground cannot be taken by Satan.
Right.
Because it belongs to the covenant.
Yes.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter who's living on it. Doesn't matter what's sitting on it. It still is the blessed ground that contains the seed that was promised all the way back in the garden, carried over to Abraham, and then over to Moses, and then over, amen, praise God, to Isaac and Jacob and all of those, and now passed down to everyone who believed. So it may look like that the enemy has gained ground, but he cannot have ownership, and under the ground is the answer, is the seed that still has the potential to release a harvest.
Amen.
I hope that makes sense to you today. So that means the blessing wasn't optional.
Yes.
But that's okay. Because the blessing connected to the covenant is the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about planes, trains, houses, and big bank accounts.
Right.
I'm talking about biblical prosperity.
Come on.
Amen. Spiritual. Amen. Stability. Are you hearing me? How sound body,
yes,
mind, and spirit.
Come on,
somebody. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. You have not been saved and adopted in by God. Amen. Praise God for it to be stripped and taken from you, but you have been adopted to have a sound mind. Are you hearing me? Wherefore we cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. We call him so the blessing is an optional. Restoration isn't just an idea.
Right.
It's a promise.
Yes.
Some of us walk around like it's an idea.
Come on.
It would be nice.
Mm.
It sure would be nice for this to turn around, for God to restore this relationship, for God to restore my marriage, my home, my family, my children. It sure would be nice for my health to be restored, my mind to be restored. It sure would be nice. But you see, it isn't an idea. And just because Babylon has permission to hold you for a while doesn't mean they get to keep you.
Yes.
And while they have permission, the ground and the promise, amen, the ground from which your promise, amen, comes from, still belongs to you.
Yes.
And your family.
Yes.
And your children.
Yes.
And your children's children.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. I preach it. Prosperity gospel.
Right.
I'm talking about that. I'm talking,
yes,
about the blessing,
yes,
covenant of God given to all who will receive it. That's why you can't get stuck in the middle. You can't get stuck between the past and the future.
It's good.
How many's ever felt stuck?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm honest, I feel stuck.
Come
right
on.
Now in my life.
Come on.
I feel stuck where I don't have very many alternatives.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
I thought I realized that my life was not my own. I'm realizing truly that my life is not my own. My stuff is not my stuff. Come on, somebody. So it's easy to feel stuck between the past and the future. It's real easy to look back and see how things were. See, when you're stuck, you have preconceived notion of what the future is supposed to look like. And I certainly, 10 years ago, at the age of 50, I'm here now, so I'm 60, so I'm between birth and 120. Gonna have a new body. I'm gonna let it rain, I won't die, so let's take it. And I don't want to live on this earth for another 60 years. Jesus, help us. But I go back 10 years, and I thought about being 60. Age don't bother me. It bothers my body, but it doesn't bother my mind.
Right, same.
Because I still feel like I'm 40 in my mind. I still have, sometimes I still think, gosh, you're almost 60. I see things that I still like. You're too old to wear that.
Right.
You can't wear that.
No.
You're too old. I'm being honest. But 10 years back in my past, I certainly, when I gave thought to 60, sure did not think that 60 would look like it does right,
right.
now. I'm not talking about.
Right, right.
I'm hanging on to every bit of this that I can. Trying to preserve it, have it. I've abused it.
Mm-hmm.
I've abused
yes.
this body. And I'm feeling the effects of
mm-hmm.
it. Hear me, young people. Listen, God created us, this body, with an ecosystem. If there's something wrong, it's a symptom that something's wrong with the ecosystem.
Yeah. Right.
You better talk right.
Get to the root of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. But anyway, I certainly did not picture 60 like it is right now. And if I go 10 years ahead and I can preconceive based on what 50 was and what 60 is, 70 is going to look really different. But what if that's not where the mercy of God takes me? So the reason I get you can get stuck in the now is because you preconceive what the future is supposed to look like, feel like, sound like, taste like,
good.
Be like. Are you with me? And the enemy wants us to focus and look on the desolation that might be around us. Being blessed is not an option. Listen, God spoke that to me today. My blessing is not optional. It's my will.
Amen.
I'll bless you coming in. I will bless you going out. Now, blessing may not look like what we think it is, but when we know that mercy is already in the future, then the blessing, come on, somebody. Right now, Babylon could be the blessing that releases the mercy in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, somebody. Are you hearing me?
Yep.
If you look, Isaiah prophesied of the millennial reign. But that's only going to be for those who endure.
Yeah.
Right.
Those who endure to the end. And then that's going to come to an end. Satan's going to be released, and there's going to be some people deceived. And then we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth.
Yes.
Because Isaiah prophesied, babies don't die anymore. Isaiah prophesied, people will live to be 100, and if they die before 100, they will be cursed. Come on. Are you with me? That's the promise of God. But you see, those who endure have to leave Babylon behind. We can't hang on to the past and what is happening and all the effects. Amen. We got to leave Babylon behind because you see, they came out. God had the termination period. Amen. He had the date set 70 years. And now they came out of the exile. And when they came out of the exile, the walls of Jerusalem had been destroyed. The temple had been destroyed. All that they knew that represented their identity as God's people had been destroyed. But they had to leave Babylon behind. Are you hearing me? Then we find now Haggai is prophesying after the exile is over. So we have Isaiah prophesying of the restoration before the exile even happened. We have Jeremiah, amen, prophesying of the exile. We have Ezekiel prophesying while they're in exile. Now we have Haggai prophesying after they come out of the exile. And here they are. And they're looking at all the rubble. And they're looking at all of the destruction and all that was left, just remnants of what was, you know, the past. 70 years prior to that, everything was intact. But because of, amen, Solomon's decision and embracing, amen, the pagan worship, God said there's got to be, amen, some consequence. Hallelujah. But how many knows, amen, that his mercies, hallelujah, and his compassion fail not. And it's only because of the mercy of God that they were not consumed while they were in exile. But to see the restoration had already been prophesied. So they were coming out. Oh, come on, somebody. Do you understand that? Our blessing in the covenant has already been assigned to us. So even though right now it may feel desolate and look like it's over, there is a blessing, amen, that is connected to the covenant, and you are an heir. To that blessing. I'm trying to finish this. They were in ruins. Imagine coming and seeing everything that identified you and your worship to God. And their consecration to God was now in ruins. It was nothing but piles of rock and dust and pieces of what was. Who am I talking to? Today, right now, at your life, and it looks like it's in ruins. It looks like there's just pieces of what was, what you thought was stable and unshakable and unmovable. Now, all of a sudden, I don't know who the Lord's talking to today. And I should know he changed my direction this morning. What you thought you could count on, yeah, is now piles. But mercy's already prepared. Restoration has already been promised. Blessing is already attached to your life. Somebody better hear me today. And it's the will of God for you to experience restoration. Touch somebody and say, from this day on. From this day on. The rubble, the Bible says, their temple, their place of worship, all the beautiful work of that first temple that Solomon built, marred, disfigured, unrecognizable. I felt that way before. I believe somebody in this house feels that way today. That just looks marred and broken. But can I tell you that God will take the ruins of your past battle and bring glory to your now? I said he'll bring the ruins of your past battle and bring glory to your now. And so Zerubbabel, they decided we're going to rebuild it. Ooh, hallelujah. See, help me, Holy Ghost.
Come on.
It's easy to walk away from the ball. What takes grace, strength, perseverance, faith, and trust is to stand in the midst of the rubble and reach down and up and begin to try to put it back together. Man, who's the Lord talking to today? So they decided, we're going to take and we're going to put this thing back together. They began to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. But the local government didn't want them building their church. Well, that'll preach in 2025. They met opposition. They met resistance. And with that came discouragement. As they sat with their tool in one hand and eventually a sword in the other. And they were mocked and they were told, you can't do this. How do you think that you're going to get anything out of this rubble? How are you going to get anything out of these ruins? See, the local people didn't want that temple rebuilt because their identity was a threat.
Come on now.
You'll get that in 2 weeks. Yeah. Come on. That's why the enemy wants you stuck right where you are and not realizing that blessing that is with the covenant is not optional. It's the will of God. And that the mercy is already prepared and in your future. And that the prayer is already ahead of you. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? Because your very identity, your very presence, amen, your existence, their existence was a threat. And it's the same for you and I. But God said, but somebody said, God said.
God said.
God said, the glory of the latter will be greater than the former. So all the beautiful work, and you can read all that went in, and everything that went into the building of the temple, what a beautiful edifice that it was. Amen. Now it's sat in ruins. But God said in those ruins is greater glory than what was there in the very beginning. Are you hearing me? I've come to tell somebody from this day on, you need to see it, that the glory of what's coming is going to be greater than what was. Amen. The glory of what's coming is going to be greater than what you have conceived or perceived in your mind. Don't be stuck in the middle, in between the past and the future. Are you hearing me today? See, Jeremiah had to remind himself of his portion of the Lord. He said, the Lord is my portion. He said, they're not listening to me. Nobody's listening. I know what that feels like. As a preacher, you can know what that feels like. But how do you know what that feels like? I mean, has ever told your kid, your child something 35 times? The same thing. And they keep doing the same thing. And eventually you realize they're just not listening. That's when Jeremiah said, you know what, I'm just done talking. I'm not going to say anything. But then he sat there and tried. And the longer he tried, the more he was about to bust, because he said, your word is like fire shut up in my lungs. I can't contain it. He said, the Lord is my portion. Why am I worried about what someone else thinks? See, when the enemy tried to discourage the people from seeing a future for Jerusalem, here comes Haggai. Because God already had restoration set in place. Because he prophesied their return 150 years prior before there was even an exile. Are you hearing me? And so he said, according to the word I promised in covenant with you when you came out of Egypt. So all the way back to that word that I promised you in covenant when you came out of Egypt. He says, my spirit remains with you. The spirit that was on that promise that was released at that moment went all the way into where they were. And he said, my spirit remains with you. So don't be afraid. And this word came to Haggai on the 24th day of the 9th month. It came to Haggai on the 24th. Of the 9th month. The very day that they began to work on the temple. And God said, from this day on, the King James says, from this day and upward, before you even began laying stones on each other to rebuild the temple, my word was with you. That word was upon you. He said the whole time that you went to find a 20-measure pile of grain but only got 10. When I thought I needed sunshine, the Lord sent a rain. When I thought I needed healing, but found my share of pain. When I thought that God had forsaken me. When I felt like that what I was going to reap was the fullness of what I had said in the moment. He said, when you went to find a 20 pile measure but only found 10, even when you went to the wine press, are you hearing me? And by what was in the wine press, by the amount of grapes, the amount of fruit, there should have been 50 measures, but you only got 20. How many has ever felt shortchanged by the blessings of God? Don't be afraid, I have. He has a reason. You feel shortchanged. But God said, even before you started laying stones, and even when you went and you did not reap what you felt like you should have, my word was on you. Mm-hmm. That promise was there. He said, but from this day on, upward. Everybody say up.
Up.
No, we're going down.
Amen.
Come on, are you with me? No, we're going down. But up, he said, from this day and upward. I will bless you. The blessing is not optional. It's his will. And even while in captivity with Babylon, his mercy was already prepared for their return and their restoration and their blessing. So I've come to tell somebody that from this day on, and the Bible says, God said from the 24th, so from the day that Haggai got the word from God, from the day that the word was spoken, the blessing was attached to it. So I don't know who's struggling right now in the middle. Every time you go to receive, others are drawing 50 measures and you're only getting 20. Others are finding a pile measure and you're only getting half. And it seems like that God has forgotten. But from this day on and upward, so every day beyond today, God wants you to know that His mercy is already prepared in your future. And that the prayer is already in the blessing. I will bless you. I know that sounds cliche, and I'm not preaching prosperity. I'm not asking you to sow, where are we at? Haggai 2:18. I'm not asking you to sow $218. I'm not looking into the numbers that are there and trying to find some quick fix for you. I'm trying to tell you that from the moment that the promise was spoken, the blessing was there. It's connected to it. And God said, before you even began laying the stones, before you even knew there's going to be devastation. Before they even knew there would be exile, God was prophesying of their return. From this day on, He said, consider now, verse 18, from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Think about it. Count on it. Mark it down. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have not brought forth. And this I will bless you. So don't look at, don't base it on what you don't see. Say there's no seed in the barn and the trees are desolate and there's no fruit on them. That's not what God said. He said, from this day will I bless you. So it's not based on what you see or what Babylon has brought. It's what God's word says that's connected to the covenant blessing. Say, get ready to come to the music. And you stand with me all across this place. As cliche as it sounds, we simply can say that all the things that God has done in your life up to this point cannot compare to what He's about to do. Because the glory of the former, and listen, there's a lot of things I believe that are coming upon us, and there's a lot of things that I believe we may have to experience. And if we don't understand the gravity and the capacity of the blessing of the Lord, when we pray and when we seek, we're not going to endure to the end. I'm convinced of it. You feel like you're sowing, but you're reaping a small harvest. Like you never have enough. Can't seem to get on top of things. Can't seem to get a grip. And it seems like you have nothing to show for your work. God said, the prayer is already in the future. He's already put the blessing. If you're here today and you're not in a relationship with the Lord, you may think that you got your life figured out, but I promise you, your life is not your own. We're never really in control of our lives when we yield and surrender to the Lord. So if you're here today, you're lost, you don't know Jesus, I want to give you the invitation. Before you seems like a pile of rubble, dust, ruins, marred, broken. You feel stuck in the middle. I want you to come. We want to pray with you.